Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 13. Indra afflicted by sinful reaction. Text number 3. Sri Raju Vacha. Indrasya nivritte hetum srotum ichami bhomune yena sansukino deva hare dukham kutto bhagat. Sri Raju vacha Indrasya nivritte hetum srotum ichami bhomune jena sansukino deva hare dukham kuto bhavat. Sri Raja uvacha. King Parikshit inquired, Indrasya of King Indra, Anivrite of the moroseness, Hetum the reason, Srotum to hear, Ichami I wish, Bo. O my Lord, Mune, O great sage, Sukadev Goswami, Yena, by which Asan, we, Sukina, very happy, Deva, all the demigods, Hare of Indra, Dukham, moroseness, kuta, where from where, abhavat, was. Translation and purport by Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Maharaj Parikshit inquired from Sukadeva Goswami, O great sage, what was the reason for Indra's unhappiness? I wish to hear about this. When he killed Vritrasura, all the demigods were extremely happy. Why then was Indra himself unhappy? Let's repeat the translation. Maharaj Parikshit inquired from Sukadeva Goswami, O great sage, what was the reason for Indra's unhappiness? I wish to hear about this. When he killed Vritrasura, all the demigods were extremely happy. Why then was Indra himself unhappy? Report. This, of course, is a very intelligent question. When a demon is killed, certainly all the demigods are happy. In this case, however, when all the demigods were happy because of Vritrasura's having been killed, Indra was unhappy. Why? It may be suggested that Indra was unhappy because he knew that he had killed a great devotee and Brahmana. Vritrasura outwardly appeared to be a demon, but inwardly he was a great devotee and therefore a great Brahmana. Herein it is clearly indicated that a person who is not at all demoniac, such as Prahlad Maharaj and Bali Maharaj, may outwardly be a demon or be born in a family of demons. Therefore, in terms of real culture, one should not be considered a demon or a demigod or demon simply according to birth. In his dealings while fighting with Indra, Vrutasura proved himself a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Furthermore, as soon as he finished fighting with Indra and was apparently killed, Vrutasura was transferred to Vaikuntha Loka to become an associate of Sankarsan. Indra knew this, and therefore he was morose at having killed such a person, such a demon, who was actually a Vaishnava or Brahmana. A Vaishnava is already a Brahmana, although a Brahmana may not be a Vaishnava. The Padma Purana says, Satkarma nipuno vipro mantra tantra visaradha avaishnavo guru nasyat Vaishnava Shvapacho Guru. One may be a Brahmana in terms of his culture and family, and may be expert in Vedic knowledge, mantra, tantra, visarada. But if he is not a Vaishnava, he cannot be a guru. This means that an expert Brahmana may not be a Vaishnava, but the Vaishnava is already a Brahmana. A millionaire may very easily possess hundreds and thousands of dollars, but a person with hundreds and thousands of dollars is not necessarily a millionaire. Vrutasura was a perfect Vaishnava, and therefore he was also a Brahmana. That is the end of Srila Prabhupada's purport to text 3 of Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 6. Chapter 13, entitled Indra Afflicted by Sinful Reaction. Today is Gundicha Marja, and I was told to read from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then this board, this verse appeared on the board. So we'll treat both of them together. In the previous chapter, Indra and Vrutasura fought, and seemingly, Indra happened to kill Vrutasura. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura said he didn't kill him. Vrutasura has already died by his own will. But because of the Narayan Kavacha which Indra has, the respect has to be given. Therefore, Indra uses thunderbolt with the mantra. Although he used his weapon, it took him a full year to be able to cut off the head of Vrutasura. Even though Vrutasura has died, Indra spent 1 year to cut off his head. What will have happened if he is still in the body? How many years will he spend? It means he may not be able to kill him. In the Vedic culture, there is respect. So the respect was shown. Therefore, Indra became morose, although he has killed his enemy, He was not happy. The demigods are very happy. The demon is killed. But Indra himself was not happy. So that has made Maharaj Parikshit to ask this question. I would like to know from you, when someone becomes successful in executing or transacting a business, you'll be happy. When someone's enemy is killed, why is he happy? Because now I'm liberated from the anxiety of having an enemy. So why Indra is not happy after killing his enemy? The demigods were happy. They were celebrating the death of Rishtasura. So Prabhupada said here that it may be suggested that Indra was unhappy because he knew that he had killed a great devotee and Brahmana. The result we're going to hear later, what happened to Indra and how much he suffered for having killed a Brahmana or a Vaishnava. So here Prabhupada stressed a point that a Brahmana is not necessarily a Vaishnava. He may be a Brahmana by birth, but without the quality of a Brahmana, he is not a Brahmana. But a devotee, even though he's not born in a Brahmana family, if he's following a bona fide acharya, he's practicing the rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness very nicely, he's superior to one who is born in a Brahmana family. That is how powerful the process of pure devotional service, of Krishna consciousness, is. It's superior to the Vedic rituals and the Vedic rules. Pure devotional service is superior to that. So Vritrasura, although appearing to be a demon outwardly, inside it's a devotee. That is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is not an external activity. Krishna consciousness is an internal activity. That is why we have sahajas in our system. If Krishna consciousness is an external activity, we wouldn't have sahajas. But because it is internal, there are sahajas. That is also the beauty of Krishna consciousness, pure devotional service. And we have seen in many places where Krishna disguised himself. His pure devotees disguise themselves. Outwardly, they may appear like ordinary person, but inside is full of devotion. Many pure devotees have appeared like this. Why are they doing that? Is it not wonderful? Is it not nice? Is it not better that Christians will appear as the supreme personality of Godhead so that everyone can see and immediately surrender to him? If Christians really wants us to worship him, is it not better that he should help us just appear as a supreme so it could be easy for everyone to surrender to him? Yes. But why he disguised? Why his pure devotees were so disguised? Is it because they don't want us to become a pure devotee? No. Krishna and his pure devotees, they do this for the benefit of pure devotees, the sincere devotees. If Krishna will appear as the supreme and show his opulence. Everybody, those who are sincere and those who are crooked, will easily understand and will follow. Then those who are sincere will be cheated. So to cheat the non-devotees, they have to disguise, so that only the sincere devotees will recognize him. The non-devotees will not recognize him. Here, Indra is not happy because he knew he has killed a Vaishava, a devotee. The demigods are not aware of this, therefore they are happy. Our enemy is now killed. But Indra was not happy, for he knows. Why Indra knows and others, the demigod, did not know? Because Indra is a devotee. And those who were celebrating the death of Vritasura are not devotees. Therefore, they cannot see internally. They were seeing only externally. So Indra was not happy. I have made a mistake by considering a pure devotee as a demon. It is not only Indra that is making this mistake. It is the nature of conditioned souls that we always make mistakes. Accepting that which is not to be it. Maya. We always accept temporal things to be permanent, and permanent and eternal things to be temporal. Bhaktivinoda Thakura said that. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura said, because of our long association with Maya, we have accepted a secondary nature to be primary. And the primary consideration is becoming the secondary. So majority of people are thinking that we are material beings who are trying to become spiritual. Which is the opposite. We are spiritual entities who are undergoing material experience. So to revise is very difficult because of our long association with Maya. So we're accepting illusion to be reality. We're accepting suffering as happiness. But those who know will not celebrate illusion. They will celebrate reality. Therefore, Indra is not happy and is feeling that he has made a mistake. The mistake is going to cost him a great deal of trouble, and he's going to go through suffering. So to help us get free from the mistake, like Indra did, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has a powerful lesson to teach us. In one of his pastimes in Jagannath Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first of all called for Kazi Mishra, then for the superintendent of the temple, then for Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. When these three people came before the Lord, he begged them for permission to wash the temple known as Gundicha. Upon hearing the Lord's request for permission to wash the Gundicha temple, the Padicha, the superintendent of the temple, said, "My dear sir, We are all your servants. Whatever you desire is our duty to perform. The king gave a special order for me to do whatever, without delay, whatever your lordship orders. My dear Lord, washing the temple is not service befitting you. Nonetheless, if you wish to do so, it is to be accepted as one of your pastimes. To wash the temple, you need many water pots and brooms. Therefore, order me. I can immediately bring all these things to you. As soon as the superintendent understood the desire of the Lord, he immediately delivered 100 new water pots and 100 brooms for sweeping the temple. The next day, early in the morning, the Lord took his personal associate with him and, with his own hand, smeared the sandalwood pulp on their bodies. He then gave each devotee a broom with his own hand, and taking all of them personally with him, the Lord went to Gundicha. In this way, the Lord and his associate went to cleanse the Gundicha temple. At first, they cleansed the temple with the brooms. The Lord cleansed everything inside the temple very nicely, including the ceiling. He then took up the sitting place, Simhasana, cleaned it, and again put it in its original place. Thus the Lord and his companions cleansed and swept all the temple's buildings, big and small, and finally cleansed the area between the temple and the Kirtan Hall. Indeed, hundreds of devotees were engaged in cleansing all around the temple. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally carrying out the operation just to instruct others. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed and cleansed the temple in great jubilation, chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna all the time. Similarly, all the devotees were also chanting at the same time, performing their respective duties. This is how to do devotional service. While cooking, while cleaning, while hearing, while doing everything we have to do for Krishna, there should be silence. For concentration and for cleanliness also for those who are cooking. Because cooking and discussing, it is possible, it is possible that our saliva may fall inside. Is it possible? So, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is personally doing this to teach us devotees. So he's teaching us here that while he was cleaning with the devotees, he was simply chanting Hare Krishna, nothing else. This is a process of pure devotional service. The entire beautiful body of the Lord was covered with dust and dirt. In this way, it became transcendentally beautiful. At times, when cleansing the temple, the Lord shed tears. And in some places, he even cleansed with those tears. Lord Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, devotional service is a joyful activity. Krishna consciousness is a joyful activity. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is demonstrating it here. But why is he experiencing the joyfully performed activity? Because he's connected with what he's doing. He's doing his service with the full concentration that this is an offering to Krishna. Therefore, he was not talking. He was fully focused. The result is that tears were coming from his eyes. And sometimes he was using the tears to clean. This is a result of executing pure devotional service. One will experience what we are offering to Krishna. All our activities are our offerings to Krishna. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us the practical Krishna consciousness. Whatever we practice, you will get the result. After this, the place where the deity's food was kept, Bhogat Mandir, was cleansed. Then the yard was cleansed. And then all the residential quarters, one after another. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu collected all the straw, dust, and grains of sand in one place, he gathered it all in his cloth and threw it outside. Following the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the devotees in the great jubilation began to gather straws and dust with their own cloth and threw them outside the temple. The Lord then told the devotees, I can tell how much you have labored and how well you have cleansed the temple simply by seeing all the straw and dust you have collected outside. Even though all the devotees collected dirt in one pile, the dirt collected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was much greater. After the inside of the temple was cleansed, the Lord again allotted areas for the devotees to cleanse. The Lord then ordered everyone to cleanse the inside of the temple very perfectly by taking finer dust, straws, and grains of sand and throwing them outside. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the Vaishnavas cleansed the temple for the second time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy to see the cleansing work. While the temple was being swept, about 100 men stood ready with the filled water pot, and they simply waited the Lord's order to throw the water from them. As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called for water, all the men immediately brought the 100 water pots, which were completely filled, and delivered them before the Lord. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first washed the main temple and then thoroughly washed the ceiling, the walls, the floor, the sitting place, Simhasana, and everything else within the room. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself and his devotees began to throw water onto the ceiling. When this water fell, it washed the walls and floor. The Sri Ramahab began to wash the sitting place of Lord Jagannath with his own hands. And all the devotees began to bring water to the Lord. All the devotees within the temple began to wash. Each one had a broom in his hand. And in this way, they cleansed the temple of the Lord. Someone brought water to pour into the hands of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and someone poured water on his lotus feet. The water that fell from the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was drunk by someone who hid himself. Someone else begged for that water, and another person was given that water in charity. After the room was washed, the water was let out through an outlet, and it then flowed and filled the yard outside. The Lord mopped the rooms with his own cloth, and he polished the throne with them also. In this way, all the rooms were cleansed with 100 water pots. After the rooms had been cleansed, the minds of the devotees were as clean as the rooms. Therefore, the cleaning of Gundicha means the cleaning of our own heart. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us how to clean our heart. The temple was cleansed, it was purified, cool and pleasing, just as if the Lord's own pure mind had appeared. Since hundreds of men were engaged in bringing water from the lake, there was no place to stand on the banks. Consequently, someone began to throw water from a well. Hundreds of devotees brought water in the pot, and hundreds took the empty pot away to fill them up again. With the exception of Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, Swarupa Damodara, Ramananda Bharati, and Paramananda Puri, everyone was engaged in filling the water pot and bringing them there. One can see the ecstasy of the devotees. No devotee was happy, and everyone is fully engaged in cleaning the heart. Many of the water pots were broken when people collided with one another. And hundreds of men had to bring new water pots to fill. Some people were filling the pot and others were washing the rooms. But everyone was engaged in chanting the holy name of Krishna and Hari. One person begged for a water pot by chanting the holy names, Krishna, Krishna. And another delivered a pot while chanting, Krishna, Krishna. Whenever anyone had to speak, he did so by uttering the holy name of Krishna. Consequently, the holy name of Krishna became an indication for everyone who wanted something. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was vibrating the holy name of Krishna in ecstatic love, he himself was performing the work of hundreds of men. It appeared as though Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was cleansing and washing with 100 hands. He approached every devotee's door to teach him how to work. When he saw someone doing nicely, the Lord praised him. But if he saw that someone was not working to his satisfaction, he immediately chastised that person, not bearing him any grudge. The Lord would say, you have done well. Please teach this to others so that they may act in the same way. As soon as they heard Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say this, everyone became ashamed. Thus the devotees began to work with great attention. They washed the Jagamohan area and then the place where food was kept. All other places were also washed. In this way, the meeting place was washed, the entire yard, the raised sitting places, the kitchen, and every other room. Thus, all places around the temple were thoroughly washed within and without. After everything was thoroughly washed, a Vaishnava from Bengal, who was very intelligent and simple, came and poured water on the lotus feet of the Lord. The Gaudiya Vaishnava then took that water and drank it himself. Seeing that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt a little unhappy and was also outwardly angry. Although the Lord was certainly satisfied with him, he became angry externally in order to establish the etiquette of religious principles. The Lord then called for Saru Damodara and told him, "Just see the behavior of your Bengali Vaishnava. This person from Bengal has washed my feet within the temple of the personality of Godhead. Not only that, but he has drunk the water himself. I now do not know what my destination is because of this offense. Indeed, your Bengali voiceover has greatly implicated me." At this point, Swaru Damodara Goswami caught the Gaudiya Vaishnava by the neck and, giving him a little push, ejected him from the Gundicha Puri temple and made him stay outside. After Swaru Damodara Goswami returned within the temple, he requested Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to excuse that innocent person. At this incident, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied. He then asked all the devotees to sit down in two lines on both sides. The Lord then personally sat down in the middle and picked up all kinds of straw, grains of sand, and dirty things. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was picking up the straws and grains of sand, he said, "I shall gather everyone's collection, and I shall ask whoever has collected less than all the others to pay a fine of sweet cakes and sweet rice." In this way, all the quarters of the Gundicha temple were completely cleansed and cleared. All quarters were cool and spotless, like one's cleansed and pacified mind. When the water from the different rooms were finally let out through the holes, it appeared as if new rivers were rushing out to meet the waters of the ocean. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Gundicha Marjan Pulsava ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nithai Gaura Premanandi. All glories assembled devotees. Okay, we have 2 minutes. Krishna consciousness is powerful, but some of us are weak. Therefore, when we try, and Maya comes in, it was a slap. We cry, "Oh, pain." My wife is happy. Why? Because Maya is thinking, you are not serious. You are not serious. My slapping is not bad. I slap you to encourage you. But you took it the other side. Why? Our determination is not strong. Why our determination is not strong? We are not careful. Why are we not careful? We are thinking that Maya is going to come from London tomorrow. Therefore, we are not ready. It's like someone who has entered a battlefield. The battlefield is not a place to sleep. Battlefield means you are going to fight. And you have entered the battlefield, you are looking for asanas to sit down. What will happen? The enemy is not going to look at you as an enemy. He's going to see you as an enemy. He will shoot you. Therefore, we should always be careful. Always be on guard. I am here to fight. My enemies will not sleep. I'm not going to fight with dead bodies. I'm going to fight with live bodies. Therefore, they are not also waiting there with empty hand. They also have their own weapons waiting. So it's a battle. It means we are going to combat. This consciousness will be always in our mind. I'm a warrior going to fight. So let me be prepared. What are the things I'm supposed to do? A successful Krishna conscious devotee should maintain the character of a fire brigade. Understand? What do you call it? Fire brigade? Understand? Is it the same? Fire brigade? Understand? Fire brigade? Fire brigade. You know their consciousness? The moment they say fire, they know what to carry. They're not going to speculate, to look here and there. There's no conference, no meeting. The moment they say fire, they know what to take. A devotee should be like that. Fire brigade. Always alert at every given time. Because Krishna consciousness means to be conscious of Krishna all the time. Not sometimes. All the time. So if this is our consciousness, we're always ready. We will know when Maya is coming to test us. And we will smile. This life will be a pleasure. It will not be a source of discouragement to make us become morose. No, it will be life. Because we have known the secret. She will succeed. And even if you made a mistake, that should not be a source of discouragement. We learn from mistakes. Therefore, we should learn from the mistake. Oh, today I made this mistake. Tomorrow, I should not repeat it. And then we'll make progress. This is how we make progress. Discouragement is not good for devotees. So we shouldn't feel discouraged. Although we made a mistake, we shouldn't feel discouraged. We should learn from it and move forward. That is the culture of bhakti. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.